Fish farming is a dirty phrase in British Columbia, but Gus Angus is proud of his organic farm.
The thing about net pen culture is that it's a huge habitat. I mean, it's like creating an enormous reef of the very best kind. Lots of places to hide, lots of medium for marine organisms to grow on, and areas for feed to accumulate. And I don't mean waste feed from these fishes. I mean the planktonic creatures that grow around submerged structures. These ponds are not degradation to the environment, but rather they are building environments. There's way more marine life around a properly maintained fish farm than there is in the open ocean just nearby.
As we speak, Gus is stunning his sable fish one by one with a wooden club. Like all farmers, he has to kill his crop, but he obviously admires these fish.
Yeah, they're very pretty fish. When you're looking straight down above them, they've got a dark gray-black back that's dappled, has a pattern on it. You know, when you see them in the water and the light reflects on them, their sides reflect a beautiful gold color. Then they go to a sort of a white belly.
The sable fish flopping around in the pond look more like bulgy slugs with fins to me. But then I haven't invested 25 years in learning how to grow these deep water fish. Sable fish have been smoked and sold in BC as Alaska black cod for years, but now unsmoked sable fish are hot sellers in Japan. We are taking this week's fish to the processing plant near Skookumchuck Narrows. Gus describes how he has found new markets for his sable fish.
I'm marketing primarily in Los Angeles and New York. In New York, basically, I'm in white tablecloth trade, and it's replacing Chilean sea bass. It's becoming very well known in Los Angeles amongst the Japanese Restaurant Association of LA, and it's being consumed mostly as sashimi, and it's new, and it's accepted, and it's enjoyed. So I have a good market there. There's big markets in the world for this fish, though. There's a big potential market in Europe. You know, Spain consumes per capita a humongous amount of fish. So maybe the Spanish will like this fish. Some people don't like it. Some say, oh, it's too soft, it's too rich, flat. You know, it doesn't have a big, boisterous voice in its flavor. And others say, oh, I just love that fish. It's like silk. It doesn't bury itself in a sauce, but it's right there with it. And, you know, so there's people who like it, people who don't.
Gus has overcome technical and marketing challenges, but his project has another problem. Sable fish farming has the wild sable fishing industry, well, wild.
Oh, good morning. Hey, you call the wild one?
Yeah. Eric Wickham represents the owners of BC's wild sable fish quota. They see sable fish farming as a threat to the wild stock and to their exclusive market.
Our sable fish sells at a real premium price in Japan. It's really desired. So it's an expensive fish. It's a small, very successful fishery. Only 48 boats bring in around $25, $30 million worth of fish every year.
Sable fish are found below the edge of the continental shelf, in deep waters off Alaska, BC, and Washington. The current sable fish industry enjoys a global monopoly. No one else has got the breeding stock, and no one else has the technology to raise these finicky fish. So the development of sable fish farming has the wild industry very worried. Eric Wickham explains.
Probably what would happen if they started farming sable fish, seeing it's such a small market, it would quite quickly collapse the market. And so the benefit for the salmon farmers if they switch over to sable fish would be short-lived, just a few years. And the technology would go outside the country, like that happened in salmon farming. The technology for salmon farming was developed here in British Columbia. And the biggest salmon farmers in the world are Chile and Norway, from the technology developed here. The economics makes sense, because Chile will always produce farm fish cheaper than British Columbia under those conditions, be it salmon or sable fish. In my mind, both fisheries are doomed in those scenarios in British Columbia.
Economic studies back up Wickham's predictions. Dr. Rashid Smaila is Director of Fisheries Economic Research at the University of British Columbia. His studies show that at low production levels, farmed sable fish will add value to British Columbia. But as other countries gain the technology and breeding stock, BC will earn less from both wild and farmed sable fish.
In general, this study is a surprise to me. I always knew there are potential ecological risk in doing this. It's there in the ecological literature. But I thought that this is an economic activity and it's likely to add value to BC. So all we needed to do is to trade off potential ecological risk with the gains economically that we will get. But after doing this study, I was left hollow in a sense because the economic benefits don't seem to be there either. So it seems to me like you go with ecological risk and then there are no economic benefits to show for that. That is quite something. I mean, most people will not want to do that.
Thus Angus feeds his favorite fish. He is determined to diversify his farm. Paradoxically, the more successful he is in growing and selling sablefish, the more likely it is that large foreign-owned companies will capture both the technology and the market. Angus says that he is unconcerned.
Very exclusive, expensive fish because there's not a lot of it, and it's going into a very restricted market, primarily Japan. And as we produce more fish, the price of fish probably will go down a little bit. But is it such a bad thing that fish, a good quality, healthful product, is available to the consumer at $7 or $8 a pound at the retail end? You know, I can still afford to make money at that price. And I don't think it's bad that good fish goes to people's tables.
In St. Vincent's Bay, north of Seashell Peninsula, I'm Janet May.